Sister Hems's idea, was it?
Definitely.
Okay. Because Jan and Brock had invited me a couple of years ago, and I thought, West Coast is so far away, and we just finished building a temple, and we were exhausted, and it just seemed too much of a stretch. And I thought, there's so many people on the West Coast who can teach the Dhamma. Let them go. And we have a lot of work to do. But everywhere I go to Kenmore in Alberta, and there's a group out there we're connected to. And this year, we were planning the trip, and Sister Himsa suggested that we mention it, because I might be in Vancouver visiting Ayan Imla for a couple of days, and Victoria is just across the water. And so she mentioned it, and you both kindly said that would be possible. And so then I said to Sister Imsa, aren't you going to be visiting Allie in Vancouver, her daughter? And then we thought, what if she were to accompany me? And so then she wrote to you both and said, how about if there were two of us? Is that what you said? Yeah. I should let you tell the story. And then, so you were so kind, and you said, sure, no problem. We'd love to have you. And then we thought, Ayan Imla lives in Vancouver, and if two of us are going. And then you said you really wanted to come, and we thought, do you think there'd be room for three? So Sister Imsa wrote one of her third fabulous emails to Junin, Brock, what about three nuns? And Allie. And they just said, sure. So that's how we all got here. It doesn't happen very often, but... So I guess we should get on to the topic of why we're here. And I thought we would start by doing a little meditation practice together, just to set the stage, just like when we put up a shrine and we put down our sitting cloths. You might wonder, what is all that? Even what we're wearing, some of you might wonder, why are you dressed like that? And we're following our teacher who wore robes in 2.5 millennia ago India. And in those days, the way robes were worn was that it's basically a sheet. But the Buddha suggested to one of his disciples that his students wear their sheets sewn like the fields of the area where he would walk for alms, and in paddies, like rice paddies, so fields and paths. And our robes are really made out of a very specific patchwork emulating that design quite precisely. And that would be a designation that show the difference between the Buddha's disciples and the other renunciants of that time. And of course, in our modern society, this really does stand out. We don't even need these sewn together paddy fields to distinguish us from everyone else. And the monks also wear these robes in a slightly different color. And that's because and the reason there are only three of us is because we're kick-starting something that has been gone from the Theravadan or the elders' tradition world for over 1,000 years or about 1,000 years. And the nun's order disappeared, but the Buddha established it 2.5 millennia ago. And in recent times, different monasteries have tried to give women the opportunity to practice the way the monks do and train. But full ordination was never available. Does this sound familiar for any of you who are from the Christian tradition? It's an age-old predicament that women fall into. And we're not feminists. We're not politicians. We just want the same training that the monks had in ancient times. So in the last, I'd say, not even maybe 25 years, full ordination for women has begun to emerge. I was ordained as a 10 precept nun in 1988, and I asked at that time for full ordination, and the answer I received was, not possible. So I said, well, what else can I get? I wanted the maximum, and 10 precepts is a pretty wonderful training, renunciation of wealth and of control of wealth and money, handling money, and receiving food that is offered, not being able to buy food, just living from the kindness of others is an amazing practice. And of course all the other renunciations around entertainments, fancy clothes, or any kind of convenient clothes, because if you let go of part of the robe, then it just unravels. And this is a mindfulness practice. You have to be very, very attentive to what you're wearing. We have no real buttons, no zippers, no Velcro. Anyway, 19 years later, I had the opportunity to take full ordination, but I had to basically leave my community and the security of the milieu in which I was growing up in the robe. And I didn't realize where it would take me, but it was such a wonderful opportunity. And I've been a nun for 19 years, and it was the most joyful experience to be able to receive the transmission with the help of women who had been in a continuous line from the original teachings handed down and training handed down to Sanghamita Terry, a fully ordained nun. Now let me get my math right. She was in Sri Lanka back in 3rd century AD, I believe, and I'm not sure if that's the right date. But anyway, some nuns went from Sri Lanka to China and introduced, there were women there that asked for the ordination, so they came. Monks had already come and transmitted the teaching, and so I ordained in that lineage. And the training is the same, even after all these hundreds of years. So the Chinese nuns have helped us to repopulate the Theravadan Buddhist world with this training for women. And now it's fully rooted. Western women are receiving it. And we established the first hermitage or monastery for women in Ontario, Perth, Ontario. And now there's a tiny little seed in Vancouver where Ayanamala is living. And you know how seeds spread. So there aren't many of us, but that's kind of, so we wear the same robes as the Buddha wore, and we also have these cloths that we lay down on our seeds. And this is, it's just a tradition that we use so that wherever you sit down, that's your place of practice. It's kind of what an airplane does when it lands. It doesn't land anywhere. It lands in suitable conditions. So it's called a landing strip. So this little cloth is my landing strip. I'm not a jumbo jet, but I'm trying to generate more mindfulness and more inner strength and inner power so that I can land better. And I think all of us are aspiring for that inner peace and inner tranquility that enables us to land well. So this sitting cloth might look just like a fabric, but it's also sewn to a certain style and design, and represents for us a point of mindfulness, like I'm going to sit here and teach and transmit. So the training always comes with us wherever we are. Now, having said that, we're all seated here together, and part of what we do as our training is we try to bring mindfulness and wise consideration to the mind, the heart, wherever we are. And so we'll try to do that together. And if you can land well and share in a few moments of silence, we turn off our engines and sit quietly on our landing spot and share in this beautiful practice of calming the mind, stilling the mind. So, one thing I'd like to ask you to do is, you know, we wear these glasses so that we can see what's in front of us. But now we're going to look within. So if you can take off your glasses and as a way of taking off the world, putting the world down. And close your eyes, sit comfortably in your chairs, and try to take a few deep breaths just to feel the breath going in and out and be aware of it. At the same time, feel your posture. Sit comfortably. Feel your feet touching the floor. And hold your shoulders steady, straight, relaxed. Not drooping. Feel your head sitting comfortably on your neck. Feel the connection to your body, the mind connecting to the body. Just go to the place of feeling, awareness of the physical feeling of the body itself, not thinking about the body and not thinking about sitting. But it's a practice of letting go of thought, letting go of thought process, and experiencing directly the body sensations, whether they're pleasant, unpleasant, nor neither pleasant nor unpleasant. Or even if we can't feel them, just trying to bring our mental attention to the shape and the pressure, the experience of the body sitting in the chair. Just feel it. Is it heavy or light? Is it comfortable or tense? Is it quiet or restless? How is the body? And the feet touching the floor in contact with the earth element. Just feel the connection with the solidity of the chair or the floor and the stability of the body sitting still. Stillness of the body, relaxing the body, and being present, being conscious, being aware of the body. Let go of yesterday. Let go of any thoughts of tomorrow. Letting go of the past and the future. And just being present, Be aware of your hands, your arms, your shoulders, your heart, your belly, your hips, knees, feet, and then scan the body back across the spine, upwards towards the top of your head, and then just be aware of the whole sitting form of the body, sitting in the chair. And going from the understanding of, yes, sitting, and then feeling it. Even if you can't visualize it, your eyes are closed, but you can feel the body posture sitting in the chair. Now from that, go to feeling the pressure of the body touching the chair. Is it hard, soft, pressing, just the natural weight of the body, not analyzing it or having any preferences about it, any opinions about it, no editorial commentary about it, just experience what it is to be sitting. Oh, sitting. And just be seated. Being seated. And then go from the feeling of the weight of the body back to the form, the posture, scanning down the back to your sit bones touching the chair or the earth element or the floor. Not worrying too much about what you call it, but just letting your awareness experience the physical, the physicality, the sensations arising in the body. Maybe there's some painful feeling, some discomfort, some contraction in the lungs. It's quite dry, cough, and just coming back to experiencing the body. If you feel any discomfort with sitting, you can stand up and try standing meditation. And if you stand for a few moments, you can then sit back down again. Stilling the body is like stilling the mind. Relaxed, not thinking about the past or the future, bring your attention to the breath. And the breath is just a way of entering into this body formation. Don't think of it as my body. It's just a body. Flesh, bones, organs, skin, hair of the head, nails, teeth, eyes, nose, all the different parts of the body, down to fingertips and toes. Not me, not mine, just bodiness. The embodiment of the body, being in this vehicle that carries us through life. Amazing vehicle. And appreciating it, and breathing into it, and noticing the air element, taking in the oxygen, breathing it in and breathing it out, observing that process, observing it, noticing it, and keeping our attention on it continuously. Keep your attention at the tip of your nostrils or inside the entryway to the nose. These two like bamboo flutes into which the air element enters the body, through which the air element travels inward and fills the whole body with life. This is a precious breath, not to be ignored for a moment. We don't pay much attention to it, but now is a time to bring attention there. If it's more comfortable for you to focus on your belly and just relax into the breathing through the belly, that's just fine. Or through your solar plexus, heart area, chest. That's just fine. Wherever you most feel the breath prominent, and just notice how it moves in, how it moves out. If there's any gap between the in-breath and the out-breath, try to keep your attention focused on that breathing process, letting go of thought, letting go of conceptualization, just letting go of holding with the mind by breathing, fully aware, fully conscious. The mind is full of breath, and the body is full of breath. So we're breathing a body that is within the body of the breath, inside the body of the body. It sounds a bit repetitious. It is. It's a way that we learn of how to breathe into the entire body through the activity of breathing. We think that the body only breathes through the nostrils, but it's a journey into the vastness of the breath. And we learn how to slowly extend that breath and our consciousness of it thereby throughout our physicality, throughout our entire incarnate experience in this body. So just keep watching the process of breath moving on its own. We don't control it. We don't manipulate it. We just observe it and allow it. And the mind rests on that breath, just as the body rests on the chair. Then we let go the observation or the attention to the body sitting in the chair to observe our attention in the boat of the breath. And it develops into an experience, very intuitive, not thinking about it, but just feeling it. It's experiential. It's empirical. We are studying ourselves from within. We're so skilled at studying the world without. Now we're entering into the world within and observing it. What is it? How is it? Feeling it. Letting go thought and just feeling, touching it by being in the boat of the breath. Just ride that breath for a few moments, knowing it. This is a knowing experience. It's a conscious being present for it, not missing a single breath. If the mind should wander into thought, we invite it quickly back in, just like when you're watching some program and there's a commercial. You want to fast forward, you don't want to watch the commercial. So don't watch the thoughts. The commercials are not important. Come back to the breath. This is the true story of what we are experiencing without the mental proliferation about it. Breathing in and breathing out from the depths of our bodies into the body of the breath. Noticing the in-breath, if there's any gap, watch that, observe it, see it, feel it, and then entering again. After expelling the breath, we let the breath go. On the out-breath is the fading away, and then again entering on the next in-breath. What could be simpler? In-breath, out-breath, or in-breath, gap, out-breath, or in-breath, gap, out-breath, gap, in-breath. Whatever it is experienced, however it is experienced in your own way, not as I describe, but in your own way. Feel that. Know that. Be present. Be conscious. Be aware. Observing, feeling, appreciating, in awe, in wonder. At this breath, maybe for the very first time, or maybe a joyful return to what we know is so valuable for us to truly experience. And as we do this, we suddenly realize how silent the mind can become. How very still, how interested. Another breath. It could be exactly the same, but it's not. It's new. Each moment is completely fresh, new, unlike anything we've ever experienced. Therefore, it is so fresh and lovely. Lovely in the beginning, lovely in the middle, and lovely in the ending of the breath. So we begin to feel the joy of breathing, the very simplest joy, the most profound joy. Of just being present. Stay present, alert, and very mindful of this breathing process. Notice the breath, the quality of it, the characteristics of the breath. Is it bright? Is it dull? Is it undulating or smooth? Is it tense? or easeful? Is it stiff or relaxed? How is it? Just experience it. There is no rightness. Whatever it is what it is. And that's the truth of how it is. And that's just perfect. It's not right or wrong. It's just lovely as it is. Because it is truly our experience. And we feel the gratitude for that. To be with the raw truth of our direct experience. This is precious. This is priceless. Again and again, just like sitting beside the sea and watching the waves touch the shore. We observe each new wave coming towards us and receding again. It's like the earth breathing in and breathing out. We never tire of watching that. In the same way, this is the ocean within us, touching the shore, breathing in, breathing out. And there's a little gap where it crests. And we just grow that and expand the breath into the whole body. Just like the crest of the wave expands across the shoreline and smooths out into nothingness. Smooths out. The mind becomes so calm, and we enter into the breath more deeply. Breathing in, breathing out, flowing with that process, fully awake and alert, content and calm, delighted, aware, at peace. Eventually, we must turn back to the world, the dynamic of the world, and the five sense doors, and our relationship to the world, having dived into a relationship with our inner world, we now bring that blessedness into our relationship with each other. So you might want to put your glasses back on. And I'm curious, how many of you have never meditated before? I forgot to ask. Have you all done this before?
We have now.
So, do you have any questions about this, Carol, anything? Yes?
Do you follow the same Vinaya as the monks?
Oh, yes, we do.
223 or whatever it is.
I don't want to frighten you, but we have 311. And you might wonder why. But if anyone has questions about meditation practice, I might want to answer those first. Because if I start talking about our 311 rules and explaining it, that'll be the whole talk. So, and I would love to do that. And we could stay a little longer.
Yes, yes, or no.
Any question? Don't be shy. So, how was that for you? Was it all right? Great. Ocean.
The ocean. Didn't that echo the experience of the children were acting out being the tide?
Oh, how lovely.
And other aspects of the sea.
Right. When I teach children, I do visualizations with them. Mm. And I think everyone benefits from images, metaphors. The Buddha was a great expert at that kind of thing. So if you're not going to ask me a question, I'm going to have to think of something to talk about. And yes, I'll just have some water.